Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the chewed up thing of free speech, because sometimes when you're waiting for something to happen, your dogs chew stuff up. It happens. So go to republicbroadcasting.org while it's still in one piece. Click on the donate button. Send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. Operators are standing by. Mark Collett has jumped across the pond. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's good to be here. The start of another week. And what an explosive weekend it has been, with Tucker Carlson starting to get to speaking about what is probably, arguably, potentially the most important issue a mainstream commentator could ever talk about. And that is, of course, where this all began, which is, of course, World War II. And I never thought I would see the day that people on Twitter were openly talking about what could be described as revisionist policies. And Tucker is obviously a huge, huge name, huge, huge following, much bigger than me, much bigger than you, much bigger than David, much bigger than people we work with. And for him to be starting to talk about the things that used to be the issues that only we would address, I would say this is a seismic shift in the political landscape. And obviously there's a lot to discuss, but when you couple this with Candace Owens and the fact she's talking about Jewish power and the power that Israel has over America, when you talk about Elon Musk openly endorsing Twitter accounts which are basically centered around talking about the JQ, this is a bizarre time to be alive, because it seems as if all at once the lies that have been built up and reinforced post-World War II, when obviously there was this, you know, foundational myth thrust upon us, these lies seem to be crumbling. And they're not just crumbling, but they're almost crumbling like the Berlin Wall, where it's not sort of brick by brick. It's almost seismic. It's almost like the whole thing is just crumbling in real time in front of us. And I've got to say, it is fantastic.
Yeah, I got... So the interview you're talking about is with this historian who I'd never heard of, but apparently he has a podcast. And his last name's Cooper. I don't even remember his first name. We should check that, but... Last name. What's his first name here? I got it right up here. The Carlson Cooper podcast. Tucker Carlson. What's the guy's first name? But the Jews are going crazy. So Michelle Goldberg, who's this overweight Jewish columnist for the New York Times. I think she's at the New York Times. Yeah, and overweight and early 40s, and she's freaking out. Other people are freaking out. J.D. Vance is distancing himself or the Trump campaign from this interview. I saw Kevin McDonald wrote about it, and so I listened. It's the whole interview is about 2 hours and 20 minutes long. I'm about an hour and a half or so into it. And, you know, there's certain things, like, it's not quite like listening to us or listening to David Duke. You know, he talks about a variety of taboos, so that it's not just talking about World War II that's taboo. Talking about the Civil War is taboo, too, which is not. So there's a few things that are done to try to soften the impact. But, you know, one thing he does do is he says that Churchill is more responsible for World War II than Hitler, that Hitler, after having some early blitzkrieg success in Poland, that he was trying, that he, you know, sent airplanes over Britain to drop flyers telling the British people that, you know, he doesn't want to break up the British Empire, that he doesn't want to have war with Britain, you know, he wants to keep Britain strong, this kind of stuff. He was saying things like this. He said some things that I wasn't aware of. And one thing I want to ask you about is he said that Hitler actually rounded up Germans and Italians in Britain and put them in camps. And then, of course, he said, of course, many of these people were Jews who had just come to Britain to, you know, from Germany. And like I thought that was weird. Was Churchill rounding up German Jews and putting them in camps? Is this just kind of his way of saying that yeah, Churchill was the bad guy and the Jews were the biggest victims? I don't know. Was there anything to that? Carlson said Oswald Mosley was rounded up as well. You know, what's that all about?
Well, I think the first thing to say is I've not listened to the full interview myself. I've only listened to bits of it. And I don't think this guy has to get everything right. And I'm sure he hasn't got everything right. As I said, I've not listened to the whole thing myself yet. And I'm sure this guy isn't going to come on and say everything that we would say or knock it out the park and get everything absolutely 110% correct as we would say it. However, what he is doing is talking about an issue which would otherwise be almost a complete taboo. Now, this is interesting, and it's interesting for a couple of reasons. And let me start with why this is so interesting. And we have to get this straight. Now, a lot of people have heard me say similar things to this in the past. You know, I'm not doing this just to go over old ground, et cetera, et cetera. But it does need stating. Post-Second World War, political landscape in Europe, America, and I'd say the world, changed in a fundamental way. And in Western nations, there was almost a new foundational myth seeded amongst the populace. So the original foundational myth of Great Britain was about, you know, the Anglo-Saxons fighting against the Norman invaders, the Norman invaders being victorious, you know, King Harold dying, you know, in 1066 with an arrow in his eye. And modern day England, and to a larger extent probably Britain, being shaped after that, because that was the last time we were successfully invaded in 1066, which is nearly a whole thousand years back in time. However, post-Second World War, foundational myth of Britain changed fundamentally. It wasn't about an indigenous people. It wasn't about knights in shining armour or the Battle of Hastings. It wasn't about Harold getting an arrow in his eye and the Bayeux Tapestry and, you know, Normans exerting their influence over Britain. And eventually we get to there or get to hear from there with, you know, numerous legal changes, a civil war, etc., etc. The whole new foundational myth of Britain was that the British people were fundamentally multicultural, multiracial, liberal, and they saw a dark threat on the continent. That dark threat was Germany. It was the Nazi government. The Nazis threatened every country in the world, and the plucky Brits stood up against those Nazis and said, enough is enough. "We are going to stop you, Mr. Hitler." That is the new foundational myth. And the Brits who stood up against Mr. Hitler and his army of black-clothed stormtroopers, they were the ones who helped usher in this new era, a new era where the whole of Europe could be progressive, liberal, forward-thinking. And fundamentally, Britain went to war to stop fascism, to stop Nazism, to stop racism, to stop xenophobia, and to usher in this wonderful liberal new world. And thus, if you in any way say, "Well, actually, I want immigration control. I don't like multiculturalism. I'm not too happy with, Western liberal democracy," you then are a heretic, because you're going against the brave men that ran up the beaches of Normandy. You're going against your forefathers. You're going against the foundational myth of Britain. And if you do that, you are a Nazi, you're a Hitler sympathizer, and that's the worst thing ever, because Hitler is effectively the devil, and Churchill, in a way, is diametrically opposed to the devil. So he's effectively God. Churchill is the hero. He's the man that came forth, stood up for Britain, fought the Nazis, brought people together, refused to give in to this devilish bully over in Germany when everyone else was willing to capitulate to this man's, horrible aims and demands. Churchill said no, roused the British people, and multiculturalism won out, won the day. And that is the modern foundational myth of Britain. And the modern foundational myth of Britain is essentially a way of guilt-tripping people into accepting multiculturalism and accepting that Britain has always been a multiracial state. Because if you go against that, you're going against, our ancestors, you're going against the greatest hero the world's ever known, Winston Churchill, and none of that can be questioned. And for years, nationalists, truth seekers, revisionists have come up against this blockade. Because as soon as you try to talk sense about different things, you get hit with this, "Well, you're just as bad as the Nazis. You're just as bad as the ones that our forefathers went to fight." And at that point, you are effectively on a hiding to nothing. You're effectively in a position where people will stop listening to you almost immediately, because you are saying that Churchill was wrong. And that is something that the mainstream media has reinforced again and again and again. And every time there's some vote, who is the greatest Briton? Churchill always comes out on top. You have to love Churchill, and if you don't, again, it's heresy. He's taken on this godlike status where questioning anything that Churchill did is basically, heresy. And it's time to burn you at the stake. If you've questioned, Churchill, that's it. You're done for politically, socially, even in terms of, academically. If you're an academic and you question the great Churchill, that is it. You're done for on that one too. And this creates a real problem for our cause. And then all of a sudden here now you have a man, Tucker Carlson, with this great reach, somebody who I feel previously probably bought into a lot of this, was somebody who would have been one of the ones to say, Churchill was probably his hero, probably say that Churchill was somehow, one of his inspirations. Yet here and now, Tucker Carlson is starting to question some of these things, or at least interviewing people who question these things. Now, I'm not saying in this interview, because I haven't seen it all, what I've seen is very interesting, but I'm not saying that Tucker has overnight become super based and, he's going to start speaking the truth about everything else. But he is now on that path. And once you're on that path, there is no real coming off it. And once somebody like Tucker gives normal people the nod to go and investigate these things, we know where that leads. We know that that's going to lead people to the truth. And once that foundational myth, and it, and I keep using the term myth because there are proper foundational histories to all of our countries. I'm sure you're very well aware of the foundational history of America. But there are also these foundational myths. But once these myths begin to be blown apart, everything that the establishment has built its power on starts to crumble, because these foundational myths are, by their nature, I know this is an obvious thing to say, foundational. And if all of a sudden the foundations crack and crumble, everything else goes with them. And I personally believe that this is a good thing. I believe this is something that will get people thinking outside the box, not just in terms of this period of history, but also in terms of other issues, you know, including, you know, the state of Israel, Jewish power, mass immigration, multiculturalism. Have we always been a multicultural society? Was the little man from Austria with a mustache really the bad guy? You know, was the need to, you know, firebomb cities like Dresden and kill, you know, hundreds of thousands in a single night in the most horrifying way imaginable? You know, the answers to this, we know the answers to this, but the public are going to start questioning these things. And I think that's very, very important. And I'm quite happy this is taking place, because recently I made a video called Britain Should Not Have Gone to War with Germany. I was explaining things like this. And at one point, for me to explain things like this, I felt like I was, you know, one of the few doing it, but I'm not anymore. And although I'm not involved in this conversation, because this conversation is being, you know, conducted by Tucker, it's being conducted on Twitter. I'm not allowed on Twitter. I've seen the effects of this conversation already. I've seen conservatives desperately posting pictures of Winston Churchill and saying how he's the greatest Briton, and, you know, no one should listen to this heresy. But I've actually seen, as a result of that, hundreds and hundreds of comments under those pictures saying, no, this is rubbish. This is rubbish. I've been looking into this. This isn't what you're saying it is. And that is interesting. And for me, somebody who spent my entire life in this cause, working towards certain aims and goals and trying to educate people in terms of you know, this issue, I've got to say, it is refreshing to finally see people discussing this in such an open, honest, and forthright manner.
And I did a show last week where I discussed part of the reason that we wind up having such, you know, weird conversations on RBN or other places and discussing all these, like, weird, bizarre topics. It's because people, you know, it's like all the weird stuff, it's because people are not exposed to more logical explanations about taboo topics. So you know, this is one example. So Hitler, even people, I mean, you'll hear so many people like Alex Jones, right? So he's a good example. He gets into all sorts of problems. There are a lot of real problems that are going on, but he winds up having to have weird explanations so many times. And, you know, what's one of his favorite touchstones as he's going through the day? Well, it's Nazis and his granddaddies. They both fought the Nazis. And you know, when he had on Kanye West and Nick Fuentes a couple of years ago, that's what it devolved into. It was oh, my granddaddy's fought the Nazis. So it's not just in Britain. And of course, Churchill, I guess Churchill was half American, wasn't he? He had an American mother. But Churchill doesn't have quite the same reverence over here. But we...
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Wake up. Stop wasting your own time. Today, my friends, Americans are more pessimistic about the economy than they have been in a very long time. And it can be soul-crushing to work as hard as you possibly can, still not have enough money for all the bills. If you're feeling a tremendous amount of stress about your finances, you ain't alone. According to a recent survey, approximately half the entire population is struggling with mental health issues due to financial stress. 47% of adults say concerns about money have at least occasionally caused anxiety, stress, worrisome thoughts, loss of sleep, depression, or other effects. That according to Bankrate's latest money and mental health survey. Bankrate? Who in the hell is Bankrate? Call Kettle Moraine Limited today at 602-799-8214. 65% of the people say their biggest concern is inflation and rising prices, and nearly 60% say their stress derives from paying for everyday expenses such as groceries, utilities. 56% say they're worried about having enough emergency savings. 47% are most concerned about being in debt. I like the people that are worried about having enough emergency savings. That's another one of the reasons that you should have been buying gold and silver years ago. Stop worrying about what it's worth from day to day. It's up, it's down, it's inside out. You stop worrying about those things. You can call Kettle Moraine at 602-799-8214 for a private consultation. That's 602-799-8214. Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. Call Kettle Moraine Limited today at 602-799-8214.
And, of course, Churchill, I guess Churchill was half American, wasn't he? He had an American mother. But Churchill doesn't have quite the same reverence over here. But we've got new foundational myths here. Our foundational myths revolve around Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement, which is something that he was getting into that as well. Pretty interesting. He actually started off talking the first 20 minutes or so of this conversation was largely about the Jonestown, not the Jonestown massacre where David Duke debated Alex Jones, but in Guyana, what was it, 1979, the mass suicide. And he was talking about the preacher who led it, who was a white guy from Indiana who grew up, you know, in the 30s at a time when Indiana had 300,000 Ku Klux Klan members, but this was a pro-black guy who had adopted a black baby and then moved out.
Not just a black baby. He had what he called his rainbow family. Jim Jones had an entire family of diverse children, including, I believe, a Korean girl who died tragically in a road traffic accident. And he wanted to prove a point by creating this multiracial family with huge numbers of adopted children, just to sort of almost, I don't know if your audience would be aware of this, there's a computer game called Pokemon where you have to catch all the pocket monsters. And he basically was, you know, doing that, but with children of different races.
Did,
he wanted a child of... He wanted to catch them all. He wanted a child. He did. He wanted to catch them all. He wanted a child of every racial group in his family.
Of preachers. He was the ass cats of preachers.
He was. I've watched a number of documentaries on this topic, and I find it really, really interesting. But yeah, that was just a small correction. It wasn't just one black child. It was, you know, he wanted children of every racial group to prove that they could all live in one house together under his rule, and it would all work.
Yeah, and I wasn't any more familiar with this guy, with Reverend Jones, than the typical person, as explained by Mr. Cooper. I just knew the basics: don't drink the Kool-Aid, and a bunch of people died in Guyana, but. But he was saying that if you look at the trajectory of this person's career, it paralleled almost like month by month. It paralleled the civil rights movement, that it started off this. And he said that had this guy not been infamous for the mass suicide, that he would be somebody who would be studied and celebrated in schools as an icon of the civil rights movement. I found that interesting, but that was this guy's starting point, that, you know, even the civil rights movement, it started off with demands that many people in the North could find reasonable. But it became radicalized in the 60s and then kind of bizarre in the 70s. And, you know, in the 70s, you had like Back to Africa movements, which by that time back, you know, moving by the 1970s, maybe in the 1800s, early 1900s, a Back to Africa movement might have been reasonable. But by the 1970s, it wasn't going to happen. But, you know, you had. A great deal of radicalization of the civil rights movement by the 1970s. And so he was saying it's just really, it was kind of a mirror of this. So, and there again, so he's the civil rights movement has become a foundational myth of the new America. And, you know, he was bringing that up, questioning it in ways people aren't used to, and humanizing a lot of the people who were opponents of aspects of the civil rights movement, like the Irish Americans in South Boston who didn't want their schools integrated. So yeah, this is very interesting. I'll just kick it back to you, Mark.
Well, obviously I find this particularly interesting because here in the UK, this idea of, you know, the foundational myth of, you know, of Britain being linked with the Second World War has been something that I believe has held nationalism back in this country. I think fundamentally nationalism has been held back by this, and nationalism has been curtailed in many ways by people believing that, you know, if they are to go against this foundational myth, they're going against, you know, their, you know, grandfathers, their forefathers, and that they'll basically be a heretic, you know. And obviously you're speaking out, you know, to speak out against God himself, aka in this example Winston Churchill, would be something completely unthinkable. But this is now happening, and it needs to come. You see, there's a lot of people in nationalism that are a little bit, or not as happy about this as I am.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
But this is now happening, and it needs to come. You see, there's a lot of people in nationalism that are a little bit, or not as happy about this as I am. And I think they're unhappy about this because fundamentally they're not being included in the conversation. And they've got a right to be annoyed because they've probably spent years of their life talking about this. But now it's breaking into the mainstream. Unfortunately, those people are not being honoured. They're not being told, well, you know, you've spent your entire life talking about this and, you know, come to the conversation with us all. You know, that's not what you're getting. You're not getting people who have been talking about this whole life being invited into this conversation. In fact, quite the opposite. You know, the people like myself, people like you, people like Dr. David Duke, others, we will be locked out of this conversation, which to some degree is going to be very, very irritating. To some degree, that is going to be, you know, an irritating situation, because fundamentally, we as sort of whatever you want to call us, content creators, truth seekers, etc., have been talking about this for many, many years. But now it's going mainstream. We aren't the ones who are going to, you know, reap any rewards from this. And when I say rewards, I don't necessarily, that's often misconstrued to meaning sort of financial benefits, as if we all want to, you know, make money from this or something like that, which I don't believe is true. I'm not talking about financial benefit. What I'm talking about is in terms of political benefit, in terms of, you know, people like you and I, people saying, well, you know, let's all you know, let's all listen to what Mark Collett's got to say now. Let's all, you know, Mark Collett has been, you know, talking about these issues for years, and he's largely been ignored. It appears that he was right about a number of these things. Let's all have a listen to him. Let's get Mark on the podcast. Let's listen to Mark's channel. You know, let's get him reinstated on YouTube and start letting him talk to the masses, or let's get him back on Twitter. That's not going to happen. And that's one of the reasons why I think some people are going to be slightly irritated by this turn of events, because fundamentally the people who've So a lot of people are annoyed because we've been cut out of this conversation, and this conversation is now happening. But the people really who started this conversation, the people who've been talking about this for years, the people who have suffered for talking about this when no one else is talking about it, are not going to get the recognition they deserve. And I understand that people are going to be a little bit sore about that. I understand that there's going to be people out there who say, well, you know, I've spent my entire career talking about this. I've suffered greatly. I might have been, you know, sacked from jobs or looked over from jobs or excluded from polite society, or, you know, in the cases of certain people like myself, you know, debanked, etc., for talking about these issues. And now Tucker's talking about this issue. He's not going to point people in the right direction. He's not going to say, well, look, if you want to learn more about this, why don't you go and have a look at some of the work that Mark Collett's produced? You know, he's been talking about this for the past 20 years in different forms, and he's made videos about this. He's not going to do that. And I think there are going to be some nationalists that will be annoyed about this. I'm obviously happy that this is happening, and I understand people's frustration, but I also think we have to assess the bigger issue. And the bigger issue is that the message itself is getting out there, and that is obviously a massive thing, that normal people are starting to hear about this issue. Now, unfortunately, it's not going to be us, the people that put our necks on the line, delivering this message to those normal people, which is going to be somewhat frustrating. However, I do think that, you know, that is just one of the unfortunate aspects of what we do. What we do as content creators is we are on the very cutting edge of what we can speak about, of issues that we can address, and often we're ahead of the curve. And sometimes, unfortunately, you don't get any thanks for being ahead of the curve. You don't get people coming out there and saying, well, God, you know, thank the Lord for these guys. You know, they were so ahead of everything. They were talking about this before it was popular to talk about this. Unfortunately, that isn't the case. You don't often get that happening. What you tend to find happening is that people who talked about it first, sadly, get very little recognition or passed over, which can be irritating. However, I think the overall gains here are obvious to be seen. You know, there are massive gains to be had here. There are people talking about this issue that have previously never talked about this issue. And I think that is something that we should be happy about. We should fundamentally be happy that our talking points are now being adopted by people in the mainstream. And I think the issue really is, once the cat's out of the bag and once people are talking about this, it's very difficult to put the cat back in the bag. In fact, it's pretty much impossible, isn't it? Once everyone's talking about something, you can't say, well, look, you've all got to forget that now. That never happened. It doesn't matter. Forget it. You know, let's pretend it didn't happen. I don't think you can do that. And I think Tucker Carlson has basically presented the establishment with a huge problem. And that huge problem is going to get bigger, because this is like a rabbit hole. And the more you go down that rabbit hole, the further you go down that rabbit hole, the more people are going to see that it's not just the issue of
a few minor things of who started the war, etc. There's the issue of, was the war a just war? Was the war good in the long run? What were the outcomes of the war? If they lied to us about this part of the war, what else are they lying to us about? Who was really behind it? What were their interests? What did my granddad die for? What did, you know, all of those young American boys go off to fight for? What did we burn German cities down for? Why did we drop, you know, an atomic bomb on two Japanese cities? You know, and once all these questions start getting asked, people are going to find some very, very uncomfortable answers. And I think this will lead to a whole new set of people figuring out the truth. And the set of people that are going to be figuring out the truth here are a very important group of people. They are boomers. You see, Tucker Carlson isn't speaking to, you know, a young audience. He is speaking to much more wealthy, older, you know, people who've got a stake in society, homeowners, people who've lived a good life, people who've got power in their local communities. And the fact that he's speaking to them will probably be far more influential than the people that, say, Nick Fuentes speaks to. Now, Nick Fuentes, he speaks to, you know, these Zoomers, these young people. They do not have, you know, for better or for worse, probably for worse in this case, they do not have the kind of societal influence that these boomers have that Tucker deals with. They don't have the money, they don't own the property, they don't have the influence in society. So it is very, very interesting that Tucker is speaking to these people. And if he's getting them to realign their thinking, I think there's potential for a lot more in terms of political, social, and, you know, even financial gain for the wider movement than there would be from, you know, just red pilling a number of younger people. And I think the people that Tucker reaches out to, or the age bracket of the people Tucker reaches out to, is also very important, because they're often the hardest people to red pill. Like the group that Nick Fuentes, or, you know, younger content creators, reaches out to, they are people that are young, they're quite open-minded, they're not sort of, you know, set in stone what they think. They don't have the same political allegiances as sort of the boomer market does. And I think that's very important as well. You know, getting these people who have never changed their mind and would never listen to anything different on these issues to actually start listening to something different, that is massive. And that's something that, you know, people haven't achieved before. And this can't be taken in a vacuum either. That people often say, oh, well, you know, well, Tucker's just speaking to his crowd. What difference is that going to make? But this isn't something that can be seen as in a vacuum. Tucker is also the man that told Americans the truth about Vladimir Putin. Tucker is also the man who's connected to people like Candace Owens, who are busy at the moment telling everyone what she believes to be the truth about Jewish power. And yeah, she's getting some of it wrong and she's not right on anything, but she's speaking openly and from the heart. And she's not alone in doing that. You know, she's been joined by other celebrities and influencers like Dan Bilzerian, who is, you know, out there now talking the truth about Jewish power as he sees it. And I think when you put all these pieces together, it starts to paint a very interesting picture that we are living in times where fundamentally things are going to change dramatically in terms of what people feel able to talk about and what people believe in terms of these foundational myths. And as I said, once you shake those foundations, everything that is built upon them begins to crumble, which is very important. And from a, you know, a political influencer's point of view, you know, whilst I can see that some people will be annoyed that they're not involved in said conversation, I think this is such an important conversation to actually have. I personally am over the moon that this conversation is being had, despite the fact that I might not myself personally be involved in it.
Well, you know, when you have a situation like a hostage situation at a bank, where you've got, or a hijack situation, you've got a a small group of people, maybe just a couple of people who have guns, and they've taken a large number of people hostage. Well, with that large number, if they were to Zerg rush the gunmen, yeah, a couple of people get shot and maybe killed, the first people to reach them. But then that next group will probably be able to overcome when I say next group, I just mean the people who are second or third in line in the Zerg rush. Eventually there will be people who will be able to overcome the gunmen. They'll be the heroes. And, you know, unfortunately for us, we're at the front line of the Zerg rush, and we're not going to be we're going to be the ones who are shot down, and then people who were not as brave and were a couple rows back are going to be the ones who take down the weakened gunmen. That's just kind of the way it is, and I guess we just kind of have to accept that. Tucker introduced this as breaking a taboo on talking about World War II. And, you know, maybe the things that were said about Churchill, maybe they're taboo in Britain. This was a conversation between two Americans in America, and Churchill certainly is not a godlike figure in America. Most school children probably don't even know who Churchill is. They might have heard the name. You know, there might be a Churchill Street in their town, but most American kids really don't know who Churchill is. They probably don't even know who Roosevelt is. But the thing is, World War II in and of itself, the discussion of it, even kind of a revisionist discussion of it, isn't necessarily taboo in the United States. It leads to a conversation, which I guess happens later, because I saw Kevin McDonald write about it, but I haven't gotten to that point of the conversation yet. But it leads to a conversation where they're discussing why Churchill made the why he was dead set on having war with Germany instead of making a very possible peace with Germany. And that got into issues of, well, first of all, it gets into the issues of his own bad finances and his own need for financial contributions, which came from Jews. And then it gets into his relationship with Jews, and in particular, a article that he had written in 1920, the time when he was already very prominent. He had been the Lord in World War One, at least for part of World War One, he had been the Lord Chancellor of the Admiralty, I guess the equivalent of Secretary of Navy, and had not done a splendid job. He had actually done a very poor job. But in 1920, he wrote an article, Bolshevism versus Zionism. Right? It was on, and in the article he said that Jews from the Pale of Settlement, you know, from Eastern Europe, were extremely radical. They were going to be engaged in radical politics one way or the other, and it's better that they're engaged in Zionism rather than Bolshevism, and then went into the very Jewish nature of the Russian Revolution. And so in the context of a discussion of Winston Churchill and what made him tick, they were able to discuss the content of that article, which includes information that very few of the millions of people who wind up listening to this would have ever been exposed to. And so it's going to open up all sorts of conversations. And no wonder Jews like Michelle Goldberg at the New York Times are freaking out. I just wonder what the fallout will be from Tucker, whether he's going to have to do a apology, maybe go on a humiliation tour to Auschwitz with Ben Shapiro like Elon Musk had to. Elon Musk, he tweeted out that it was an interesting show. Has he removed the tweet? I don't know. But anyway, what do you think of that, Mark? We have a few minutes left.
Well, I think everyone on that side of the fence is going to be angry. I think there's going to be a lot of anger. I think there'll be a lot of anger here from the establishment in Britain. I have noticed that leading conservative-minded people from all over the world, when I say conservative, I shouldn't say conservative-minded, I mean conservative influencers, mainstream conservative influencers, sort of conservative Inc-style influencers from America and Britain, have been busy tweeting pictures of Winston Churchill and, you know, giving their sort of slavish, declaring their slavish support for the man. And, you know, that's very interesting because those tweets are being ratioed. Those tweets have got, you know, as I said earlier, dozens, if not hundreds of, you know, very, very well-liked replies telling the truth about Churchill underneath them. And that...
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Start your day on RBN with John Moore from 7-10. With coffee cup in hand, wake up with the Memory Man. Highly qualified guests share their knowledge with the callers Monday through Friday. His website is second to none. It's thelibertyman.com. You'll find everything right there. Start your day and be prepared. So give a listen or a call. Tune in weekdays on RBN. Start your day and be prepared. So give a listen or a call. Tune in midweekdays on RBN.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by MyNutra. Why is Hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like Hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy Hemp Paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
Very interesting because those tweets are being ratioed. Those tweets have got, you know, as I said earlier, dozens, if not hundreds of, you know, very, very well-liked replies telling the truth about Churchill underneath them. And that is just fantastic. That is something that years ago you'd just never seen. You would have never seen that. And people must be thinking, what the hell's happening? And also people who are aware of what is happening must be saying to themselves, well, this proves our point. You know, as soon as you say something about Churchill, all these shills come out of the woodwork and declare their love for him, you know, almost as if it's sort of choreographed. And it obviously is. These people have been told, you know, make a post about this man, you know, reinforce with your supporters that he's the greatest Briton, he's the man that saved Europe, and that, you know, that's what they're saying. But people are looking at this and saying, well, that's just crap, that is not true, you know, that's just rubbish. This is exactly what we've been warned about. Now we're looking into this man was the death of Europe, which he was. And I think this is brilliant. I think this is something which is going to bring more people, you know, either directly into our movement or, you know, to a place that's much closer to our movement, and will allow us in some degree to further shift the Overton window in our direction. Because I've said this before, once knowledge is out there, once the truth is out there, once people have started to understand what is going on, you can't undo that. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. It's impossible. You know, you've got to then deal with the knowledge and the truth that's out there. Once people understand, you know, who's behind the curtain pulling the strings, the show just doesn't have the same effect again on the people. You know, it's like magicians. Once a magician is exposed, once you know how a magician does his tricks, you never look at the magician in the same way again. Something about him is lost that can never be regained. And that's why in the past, groups like the Magic Circle used to, you know, expend so much time and energy and power trying to keep the secrets of magic as secrets, and why they hated people like, say, Penn and Teller, who would, you know, openly discuss, you know, how tricks were done and demystify the world of magic. And I think that, you know, people in the West have had this veil pulled over their eyes for so long, and it's almost been like a spell has been cast upon them, but they're starting to see now the truth of this. And once they see the truth, I don't personally see, you know, a way back. I don't see how the establishment can sort of recapture its power. I don't see how the establishment can then look at that and undo that knowledge. You know, it can get angry about it. It can call people racists. It can shout and say this is bigotry, and, you know, this is the kind of talk Hitler would want, or some such nonsense. But they have no actual counter, you know, no genuine counter. They can make some kind of, you know, emotional appeal, but they have no counter to the truth. And I think that's why they're so scared of it. It's the same with other revisionist history. They are absolutely terrified of people knowing the truth about a certain historical event. That's why it's the only event in the history of the world that people regularly get sent to prison for, you know, asking questions about. So this to me is a big positive change. And there is a slight fly in the ointment that, you know, dedicated nationalists who have been talking about this for decades or longer are not going to be included in this discussion. But other than that, I think this is all positive.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously that event you're talking about is the 1919 Chicago Black Sox scandal. But thank you for joining me, Mark.
Thank you for having me on. It's been an interesting show.
Okay. It's not really the Black Sox scandal. I actually had said that with better timing, but my mute was on. Okay, thank you for joining me, and I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.